I want to ask you a question and now explain to you what I mean or what I want from it. And doesn't mean that I want necessarily an answer like from you right now, but what did you hear this week? And what I intend for that to mean is not some gossip or anything of that sort, but in your walk with Christ, God speaks to us. That's one of my passions, is to hear from God. So if I ask you at the end of this week, or maybe this evening, I may text you and say, what did you hear today? Meaning, is there something specific or something that God is revealing to you? It could be anything, and it also could be nothing. You didn't hear anything. But I was listening to a podcast. It's called The God Journey, and occasionally I'll listen to that, and that's what they had started to do, is ask each other. There's two guys usually, or sometimes there's a guy and a lady. And then he usually asks, one of them asks, so what did you hear recently? And then they begin to talk about what they feel like God is saying, and they have a conversation about it. So I may do that to you at the end of the day or at the end of the week, and you can ask me the same thing. That would be pretty cool. Because as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. And that's the verse that I want to look at today. We're going to read 1 John 1. It only has 10 verses, but that's what I want to zero in on and focus on, is walking in the light. And what does that mean? How is that done? Where and when should I walk in the light? So let's read, I'll read 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete, be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God, I pray that You would just lead us today in this passage. I pray You would speak to us that which You want us to hear individually. And to God be the glory. Amen. John, I believe, was the apostle of love, we could say. And also, he was one of the sons of thunder. And I wonder where they got that name. Was there something that the children were, or the sons did, that somebody coined that phrase to some neighbor, or somebody said, well, there's one of the sons of thunder. I don't know how they got that name, but I believe that John had an intense moral earnestness, and his love for Jesus made him despise evil and to hate evil, and he sternly condemned it. And some of the words here, even as the other chapters would indicate, that he was direct In verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, well, makes us, you know, we lie and we don't practice the truth. And I had to think of Romans 1, verse 18, where it says that he was describing, Paul was describing the people, and that, I better go to that verse so I don't mess it up. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It has the same idea of intermingling ungodly stuff with truth and therefore making it maybe not completely dark, but it's obscured at least. And that's what he was saying here in John as well, is that when we say we have fellowship with God and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In verse 1 then he says, what was from the beginning, I think in the King James it says, that which was from the beginning. And I think that what he's talking about is two other scriptures that I want to turn to, which John 1:1 would be one of them. And it says there that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to what was in the beginning. And also, I believe that it could be referring to kind of like simultaneous or side by side back in Genesis chapter 1, which I want to turn to and read verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4, Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. That's a very interesting couple verses there. And I believe that perhaps John might have been referring to that as well as John 1:1, the things that what was in the beginning. The first thing that God did in the creation was make light, or created light. He just said, let there be light, and then there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And I was thinking this morning, how, what if this would have said, and God separated the light from the darkness, and he abolished darkness, completely eradicated, completely took it off the face of the earth. There was no more darkness ever. Well, I mean, it didn't say that. We understand that. That's not what it says. That's not the way it went. Adam and Eve would have never sinned. Then we would have never either. I believe that this is kind of an opinion that I have, so, about creation, and I've just been kind of randomly maybe speculating, musing, pondering on this. But it could be that the darkness was something that was already there when God said, let there be light. And I'm not sure what to do with all that, but I do know that he said, let there be light. And he just separated it, and he could have abolished it. And I'm not sure why, except that it gives us the, he gave us the power to choose then, one or the other. And I believe I'm kind of going on a tangent here a little bit about, well, we'll come back to the light and stuff, but it seems to me that God gave humans the power to choose is one of the most beautiful things that ever was. Maybe the most powerful. In the case of a person who doesn't believe God, I feel doesn't understand that because there is a God, he has a choice to believe that there's not God. I don't know if they realize that or not, but without God, nothing is. But today I'm in particular really thankful that there is light. When light came on the scene, God separated it. And if you go into a room that's dark and you flip on the light, where does the darkness go? In the dark of the night, if it's a room, or even if you get in your car and you turn the lights on, and darkness goes somewhere, I don't know, but it just has the power to take, to just kind of put the darkness out. It's not like you can go into the corner of that room and there the darkness has gathered. So you put it in a box and you take it outside and throw it behind a tree so you can get rid of darkness. You just don't need to do that. So if we walk in the light, it is a constant, it seems to me like there's a constant shooing of the darkness away from us, which is a blessing. It's just some things to think about there with the creation, and I don't want to preach it. I don't feel like the other things that I think about creation and so on is necessary to preach about. I enjoy the conversations that we can have, but we get back here to the text that we are reading in verse 1. It says, that which we have heard from the beginning. What does it mean when he says we've heard and seen with our eyes and we have looked at? It seems like that's the same thing, but there's a couple different meanings there, kind of. And then he says we have touched with our hands. The word heard there simply means to hear and to listen, but it's like by extension it means to comprehend by hearing. And sometimes some people, when we hear things and people are explaining things to us, we say, well, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. And they may say it in a different way. They say, okay, now I get it. That's comprehending what you're hearing. And seen, the second thing is that we have seen, he says, with our eyes. And it can mean to stare at, to discern clearly, to experience. And then looked at, it seemed like that would mean the same thing, right? But it's almost like a continuation in a more intense way, but it simply means to look closely at or to perceive. To visit is also part of the meaning there. And then he says to touch, and they have touched. Now, I don't know if that means that they shook hands with Jesus or just touched him, or if they hugged him, or what it means, but it means to verify by contact. And I think that it would simply mean the least, or the what it would should mean or could mean is that they were in the presence of. It'd be like I would walk up to Kristen. From here, I see him. I can look kind of closely at him, but when I make contact is when I'm right in front of him. And then, I mean, it does say touch, so there had to have been some kind of physical contact. And John is saying, we did these things, we saw Jesus, we heard him, we looked at him, and we touched him. And verse 2 it says, and the life was manifested to us. What is the life that was manifested? And what does it mean when it says manifested? Was it something that was just like portrayed in front of them, or was it something more personal? And so the word life here is the spiritual and the physical life of Christ, present and future. And manifested simply means to make clear. How was it made clear? How was this life, if he's talking about Jesus, how was it manifested to them? And how is it manifested to us today? I believe initially it was manifested that Jesus came in the flesh. Life came in the flesh, and they personally met Jesus, and they saw him, and then they were saying that it was manifested to them. It was made clear. And Jesus, because Jesus came. In verse 3, it says, our fellowship is with the Father. The word fellowship means partnership, and it also means participation. A little bit later here, we're going to go actually, I'm going to just jump to that and then come back. Partnership and participation is what the word fellowship means. It means commitment, communication and sharing. And anyone who knows or has been in a partnership in business life knows that it's a lot of work to make it happen, to be successful. And commitment is one of the first things. Communication is another one. If you don't communicate with your business partner that you are in partnership with, things begin to go the wrong way. And you need, it's constant communication and sharing together. And so it is with our fellowship with with the Father, first of all. And participation means action, involvement, and you contribute, and you engage together with who you are in partnership with. In verse 5, it says, in him there is no darkness at all, meaning moral and spiritual. There's nothing obscure. There's nothing that is hidden, in other words. And darkness blocks the light of God. And there's nothing that blocks the light of God in Christ. Everything that God is was put into the person of Jesus when he came here on the earth. And then everything was open for people to see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And verse 7, kind of just going down through here. There's so much more that could be talked about, said, and preached. And verse 7 is what I wanted to focus on for a little bit here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There are three things here that I want to kind of highlight. The first one is walking in the light. The second one is companionship. And the third one is cleansing. How is that done? Where is that done? And when shall I walk in the light? When should I? Is it just once in a while? If I get busy, I can just wait to walk in the light till tonight or tomorrow or next week? Well, we have that choice. But the more that we walk in the light, the better off we are. So walking in the light. And John had just mentioned it a couple verses before here that we had already read in verse 3. He says, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father. And that's where that partnership and participation happens. Indeed, he said, our fellowship is with the Father. Our partnership, our participation is first and foremost with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So in that walking in the light, first of all is with Jesus, with God the Father. The partnership, the participation, it means to be committed to Christ, communicate with him, share with him, and participate, meaning action. You become involved, you contribute and engage. And that is a, by extension, it would be also with each of us here, as the next one is that I want to bring out is companionship. When he said that if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And with who? And it is with one another in the local church body. Together we journey. Together we go through things that if we don't communicate, we begin to assume perhaps. We surmise things about each other because we don't communicate. We're not committed to each other, can be a breakdown of this fellowship. But if we do it in the light of God, in the light of who he is, and we walk in that light, that companionship can grow and be strong where we have each other's backs. When people talk about us or maybe accuse us of things, we have each other's back and we will call each other or text or something and say, hey, brother, I heard this about you, but I don't believe it. I'm behind you 100%. That is so powerful. And it just continues to bind our spirits together as we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another. And John was saying this, like what he was saying in verse 3, he was saying, we're telling you this so that you too can have fellowship with us. There is the fellowship that goes beyond the local. We all have friends. We have family in other communities. And then the extension of our friends and our family in other communities gets us in touch with other people who are not at all related to us. But in Christ, because we walk in fellowship with Him and we walk in the light, it's just a beautiful thing. And the body of Christ is so huge and so large and so good for each of us to be a part of. On the other hand, if we walk in darkness, we will not have fellowship because sin separates. The third thing that I want to highlight in this verse here is cleansing. The progressive cleansing of those who walk in the light and fellowship one with another happens as long as we're engaged and as long as we're committed to each other and communication with each other and we share with each other. We become involved and we contribute. There's a progressive cleansing that he's talking about here that goes on and on. And if we borrow from verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's kind of a two things going on here as far as God forgives our sins and then there's a cleansing that takes place. And I believe this cleansing takes place as we fellowship with one another and walk in the light, as Christ is in the light. God justified us when we became born again. Then we become sanctified as we fellowship with one another. Sanctification is not just one time thing. A lot can happen in sanctification, and a lot of I just believe in my heart that it's an ongoing thing that we're a part of as we fellowship with one another and as we commitment to each other, and we become active in each other's lives. This verse 7 is not necessarily speaking first about forgiveness that Christ gives to us, but an ever-abiding light to be a perpetual cleansing of the impurities that are in our lives. And you know, as we journey in this life, we think we've got everything purified now, or at least we're close. And then as you go in life, things happen. And Satan is constantly trying to get at us and to bring darkness into our lives. And we mess up and we make mistakes. And we fall. We miss the mark. And then there's time we need some more purifying again. We need some more help from God and from others that we fellowship with. And I'm going to go into chapter 2, verse 1, at the end of the first verse. And it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. That's an amazing promise. That as we go through life, dirt comes on us. And we need to continually have cleansing. If I have the life of Christ within me, a growing cleansing from the dominion and the power of sin is granted to me. It is as a blood transfusion when somebody has lost a lot of blood and can be to the point of dying. Quickly, they have a blood transfusion and life comes back. I just remember, I think it was in 2017 when I had an iron deficiency in my body and I could only work for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. And I was totally exhausted, and I almost, that sometimes I was nauseous and was about to faint. And I went to the doctor, and he took me to the hospital and said, you're so low in iron that you're not able to function physically. So I had an iron transfusion, and that's kind of what this is I picture that here with the fellowship that we have, and we walk in the light with each other. We have that companionship with each other and a continual cleansing. It is like Christ is giving us a transfusion constantly to keep us pure and going and physically or spiritually fit. If we walk in the light, it is as if God initiates transfusions of himself into our spiritual veins. Being pardoned is amazing. Being purified is even more. He died for our sins and lives for our sanctifying. He died for us. He lives in us. Because he died, we are forgiven. Because he lives, we are made pure. But if we walk in darkness, sin begets sin. If we confess, in verse 9 it says, if we confess, in other words, if we acknowledge our sin or the dirt that is in us, that we need to get rid of it and so on, he will cleanse us. Isn't that amazing and such a wonderful promise that we have? We all want to be pure. We all want to do what's right. We all want to live for God. We want to know God. We want to be near God. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. But there are times when we need to acknowledge that we have messed up. We need to acknowledge that we've walked the wrong path. First of all, acknowledge it to God and repent. And he will cleanse us from part of the unrighteousness, half of it, a third, 25%, or will he cleanse us from all unrighteousness? The Bible is very clear that it is all, A-L-L. It means to make pure. It means to make clean, removing all admixtures. In other words, the intermingling of filth. And that happens so easily in our lives because we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. It is just something that our human tendency is. And as we get more mature, it happens less and less, I hope. At least I feel it should. But it is this intermingling of the dirt, little things that we mess up in, and it intermingles in our lives, and it needs to be cleansed. And so as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. I have two more scriptures that I want to read, and then I will end. Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If we walk as children of light, we shall have fellowship with the living Lord. And daily, we will know more and more of the power of his cleansing blood because we're going to experience it personally and as a group. Therefore, making us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that verse is from Colossians 1:12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us, in verse 13 of Colossians 1. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I just want to bless you all in Jesus' name to make every effort that we can to get rid of all the impurities by walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. We will have them fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ will cleanse us from not half of our sins, but all of them. And we need that daily. If you're like me, I just need a lot of help. Let us pray. God, I thank you for and that we have this scripture today to lean on, to learn from, and to grow by. We thank you for your Spirit that speaks to us and helps us as we fellowship together as a local church body, and by extension with others as well. Thank you so much for walking with us, Lord, and not giving up, being patient and long-suffering. We love you today, Jesus. Amen.